Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, and welcome again to another episode of the Hold On Guys podcast. I am your host, Roy of Royce of Streams. You can find my information by typing Royce of Streams in any major social media outlet, such as Linktree, Facebook, Instagram, Twitch, and YouTube. Tonight, we have a very special episode outside of our regular nonsense. I am celebrating my first wedding anniversary with my wife, Katie. I've spoken about her a few times on the show already, and she's with us today. Katie, would you like to say hi to the world?
Hi. Happy to be here.
Hello, hello. Awesome.
And we also have John with us tonight, and we thought it'd be fun to do a couples counseling episode, you know, in quotes, couples counseling episode. And hosting tonight is a very familiar voice, John. So, John, would you like to take it away, please?
Absolutely. So tonight we're doing an interview with our, I guess it's not so newly now that it's been 1 year. So, Katie and Roy, you recently made a move. What has that process been like, making a first move together in that first year of marriage as well? What's been sort of an up point of that? What's been a down point of that?
Katie, would you like to start?
An up point in that is we did it.
Of course. Absolutely.
We got all the things we did. We got the movers. We packed everything up ourselves. Even though it seemed kind of crazy to do all of it by ourselves. And then we got 3 cats up. The downside is it was really, really, really hard. It was a lot of what needs to get done? Oh my gosh, we have this much that's still to be done. Oh my God, kids, just I'm over it. I just want to move.
Yeah, there were many points where we, you know, were celebrating like, whoa, we got this done, you know, whatever it was at that moment. And then we go to the list, and not only was the list not done, but it seemed like there were like 5 more things that were added to the list. And this was every time we crossed something off the list. The list never ended, and it always got bigger and worse. And so that was definitely a big low point, where, you know, you're like, oh, I have, you know, 5 days to get this done, and I have so many things to do. Like, it was such a very, like, low point of despair. But, you know, I will say that in every instance of that despair, whoever was lower, either Katie or myself, the other person would pick up the slack and, you know, be the rock for the other person. And just kind of be like, hey, like, this sucks. I know it sucks, but we can do it and we're going to get it done. And so in those low moments, I think there are peaks, and those peaks become exponentially higher because of those low moments.
Yeah. Did it feel like sometimes there was a deliriousness a bit with that high to low, seeing the new city, which I'll make a note, you haven't said so, but to Durham, North Carolina, and yes, from Florida. Now, what was the name of the town you were in before coming to Durham?
Oh, we were in Fort Myers, Florida.
Fort Myers, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Wanted to make sure I had the right. So what is something that you miss about Fort Myers for both of you, and what's something that you've discovered in Durham that you wouldn't have been able to find there in Fort Myer.
So I've mentioned this before. I think it was the last episode or the episode before that. I never thought I would miss a grid system when it comes to roads before. Because, like, you know, especially in Florida, because you're living on the edges of each coast of Florida, you know, you have a major highway going north and south and a major highway going north and south on either side. You don't really have a whole lot of, like, alternative route options. It's really just like you're either going down this main road or this main road. And if either one is fucked, you are screwed. Like, there's no, you're in traffic for hours. And up here, there are, like, it's not a grid system. It's pretty much like we built a road here because we wanted to, and I hope it works out eventually. And, you know, there's a bunch of, I call them wiggly roads, but they're, you know, they wind all around and, you know, it dead ends into a cul-de-sac or it meets into a roundabout, and there's random stop signs. And like there's been more than one like state highway that turns, has lights on it. And then all of a sudden you're actually on the highway. And so like, I think one of the things I wouldn't have missed would be the grid system, because I was so happy to get away from the grid system. And it's one of those things is like, man, I kind of miss the grid system.
Grass is a bit greener and such.
Yes, indeed.
I think mine is my thing that I take for granted, or that I've kind of found surprising, was for some strange reason, I thought that joining this big medical institution would mean, I don't know what I thought it would mean, but I didn't expect to have to park a mile away from work and take the bus every day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't really anticipate. I don't really know what I thought. I guess I thought, oh, well, there's a parking garage. I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But
so who's taking up all the parking then, if not the faculty?
Is medical? Well, the closest parking is for patients.
Yeah. Okay.
Which makes sense. Yeah. But I have the furthest parking because, number one, I'm new. And number two, I refuse to pay for parking. So, they subsidize up to a certain amount. But I'm like, I'm outside of that subsidized amount. Like, I'm not
sure
paying to go to work. That's ridiculous. And I guess I just never anticipated big institution and everything not parking on site.
Yeah. It should go without saying, but I feel like it needs to be mentioned that, you know, we left most of our friends and family, if not all of our friends and family. And while we have made new friends up here, you know, we are inserting ourselves into their lives. Mm. Like, so we like have to almost petition them to be like, make time for us, please.
Yeah,
right. And that's because it's been extremely hard. You know, Katie has a job and I, for lack of a better term, don't. You know, I'm trying to do little things here and there. I'm kind of hoping the podcast takes off and that I don't have to work, you know, as much as everyone else does in the traditional sense.
Like and subscribe.
you know, like it's been very lonely and it's been very isolating. And that's not something that I would have thought would have happened in a city of 300,000 people. But to be, you know, we live in a very quiet part of the city, which I'm very grateful for.
Yeah.
But that also means that there's no one around.
You mentioned loneliness in something that I, especially as someone who moved away for grad school, didn't know anyone in Florida, as you all are from there. I found that even when I was with a partner, sometimes I could experience a loneliness together with another person.
Yes.
And with that in mind, how long have you been living together?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And what was the transition for you from, like, this was the day that it was new, and this was the day that it stopped being new and became, like, routine with another person?
Katie, I have my answer ready. Do you want me to go first?
Yes.
Okay, so Katie has been married before, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. And if we don't, that's okay, because he sucked. But all that needs to be known is that she has been married before, and she has lived with another human being for an extended period of time. I have not. So this is the couples counseling episode. Katie is my longest relationship ever. She is the only significant other that I've ever lived with, and she's the only person I've been engaged to or have been married to. So there's a lot of firsts there, right?
Sure.
We moved in together February of 2023, Katie? Yeah, February of 2023. 2024. Yeah, 2024. Yep, it was 2024.
Yeah, it was 2024.
Yep. Okay. So we're coming up on 2 years living together, right? And I think it's also worth noting that since the time that we have moved in together, Katie and I have not spent a single night apart.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's, like, I'm not, like, you know, saying that to be like, woohoo, new record, because, you know, that's silly. But I'd also think that it's worth noting. You know, it's something that's rare these days. You know, we haven't taken a trip without each other. We haven't gone anywhere without each other. Not only have we spent every single day and night together, we've slept in the same bed every single night since that moment. And so, like, you know, and I say all that to preface my answer to your question with, yes, it is possible to be lonely while being with your partner. And it's not I don't think it's a reflection on your partner or anything like that. I think it's just a reflection upon your mental state, and my mental state in particular. One of the things that Royce of Streams is about, or at least will be about, will be mental health advocacy. And so I think it's fitting in this very intimate podcast episode to, you know, share that I have bipolar disorder. And having that disorder is a challenge, definitely. And, you know, there are times where I've swung so low that I have been incredibly depressed and incredibly lonely and so isolated. But one of the common themes that our relationship is about, Katie and I's, is constant communication. Very rarely do we go without, like, a 24-hour period without talking about something deep in some way. And very rarely do we go longer than that, like a week, without talking about, like, how do you feel? And, I mean, even to the point where we will literally and figuratively poke each other and be like, hey, I know you're pissed off right now, but you got to tell me why. So that, you know, even if I can't help, I just need to know.
Sure.
Yeah. And there's definite. So for me, I suffer from, I have PTSD as a result of my previous relationship. So sometimes I feel, so it's not. It's hard to sometimes, I guess, as hard as we try, we both know that there are things about each other that we'll never truly understand.
Yes.
And there is sort of a gap or a loneliness in that respect. But there's also an openness with us that we feel like we can talk to each other about it and know that we have an empathetic ear, that even though that experience that we've had, we were alone, we know at the moment we aren't alone anymore.
Exactly.
And what our struggles are, aren't ours anymore. Like, as individuals, there's ours as a couple. And in that, there's some solace and some comfort, because I'm not battling these things. These nightmares aren't just mine. I have someone that I can lean on.
You mentioned having some PTSD around a relationship. For myself, something I have to sometimes mention, though it hasn't come up now for years, is that I used to have night terrors from time to time, and was very worried that at some point I would, like, have one of these with a partner in bed with me. It never ended up happening, but it's still something I've mentioned to partners. You all have slept right next to each other for all these months. Is there anything for either of you that was either, oh, I didn't realize another person slept in this way, and it was a learning moment, or something that continues to be like, oh, they go to bed first, and then I do? Like, what's that process like for both of you at night?
Well, I'm going to jump in here.
Okay.
So, specifically in regards to Katie's nightmares, if she is doing the night terror thing where she's, like, thrashing around, and, you know, I'm not going to say that, you know, Katie has, like, punched me in the middle of the night in her sleep, and, like, it hurts. But never in, like, a malicious way, just in, like, a, ow, like, wow, okay.
Sure.
She's got some heat on her. Like, all right, push her into the fight next time, you know? But I have noticed that, like, if she starts to, like, thrash around and start doing the thing, if I just kind of, like, take my arm and just kind of hold her in a way that lets her know that, one, please don't punch me, but also, two, like, I'm here and I have you, she almost always will immediately just calm down and go back to sleep outside of that night terror thing. But as far as, like, sleeping with someone, sleeping next to someone, like, there have been times that, like, I've gone to bed a couple hours before she has, or vice versa, or whatever. And, you know, Katie is a really, really, really deep, hard sleeper. So, sometimes, like, I'll wiggle into bed, and, you know, for all the viewers, listeners at home, when I say that I'm the tallest on the podcast, that's, you know, may or may not be too true, but I am 6'4". I am a bigger dude. And Katie is literally a foot shorter than me, but somehow she takes up the entire bed. And I kind of have to, like, gently move her out of the way to lay down. But I have noticed, though, if I go to bed, say, a couple hours before she does, I don't really sleep right until she gets in bed. And it's a comfort thing knowing that she's next to me. And, like, there have been a couple of times tonight, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I kind of roll over and feel for her and she's not there. I'm like, what the hell? And I wake up and she's just like, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm like, oh, okay. Whew. Like, I'm okay now. But it's that initial, like, that's been really frightening.
For me, I have actually taken medications to help with my nightmares. And it does work. The FDA issued a recall, so I haven't been taking it. but I think for the night terrors, I had been doing this type of eye movement therapy, and it really
EMDR, I believe.
I did EMI.
So EMI, okay.
It's an older version, a more direct version. And since stopping taking it, I haven't had any nightmares, which has been kind of a surprising moment. I don't know if it's being with Roy, being in a new city, anything like that, but I do sleep better. Like I do notice that I fall asleep faster, and I fall asleep more soundly when I know he's there. If I go to bed without him, unless I'm really, really tired, I'll usually kind of toss and turn a little bit, and be a little restless. And science does show that you do sleep better with your partner. On a funny note, I usually get up before him because I have to go to work. And he's quite entertaining because he'll, in his mind, when I get up, he's thinking he's having this whole conversation with me about, oh no, I'm still tired. I'm gonna sleep in a little more. Do you mind? And in reality, what I hear when I want ask him, do you want to get up, is a
And she's not exaggerating at all. There have been multiple times where, like, oh, remember I told you that thing this morning? She'd be like, no. Like, yeah, I said XYZ. And she'll say, no, none of that. None of those words came out of your head. It was just,
I got a caveman grunt. I don't know. You had a whole conversation between you and I, completely in a dream state.
What's even better is when I try and text her in the middle of that dream state, my brain interprets the words on the screen as like cohesive sentences. And then I'll look back at it 3 or 4 hours later and it's just gibberish.
It's just utter really nonsense. Bad.
Yeah.
It'll be like, I get the point, but I don't know how the hell he got there.
Sure. We've talked about a bit the current living situation of you all, moving to Durham, living together the past year and a half, but let's go a little earlier in our relationship. How did the both of you meet initially?
Okay, well, the year was 2022. And wow, when I put it like that, that's 3 years ago, Katie.
Yeah, I know. Which
we would have met 3 years ago next month, essentially. But so through a long turn of events, which is for another dime, another podcast, another intimate podcast episode. You know, long story short, I was with someone, my dad died. We broke up, not because of that, but it did happen like a month after that. It was not fun at all. And then I went through a bunch of months of like grief and wandering around and just kind of wandering around life. I wasn't really sure like what I was doing. And so I was on online dating. I was on a couple apps and nothing seemed to be working out. And, you know, I was to the point of like, you know what? I'm going to give it till the end of the year. And then if nothing happens, then I'm done. And if something happens, we'll see what happens. And so on Bumble, for those of you that aren't aware, after, you know, you swipe right on each other and you match, the woman initiates the conversation in a male and woman, male and female match. The female initiates the conversation. And so Katie hates to initiate conversation. Would you like to take it away, Katie?
Well, I had been told to try Bumble because I was annoyed with being on the other apps where men can initiate first, because some of them were, all I would get in a message was an engagement ring. Be like, okay, that's weird. Don't do that. So I got tired of that, and it was suggested to me to try Bumble, and so I had initiated a conversation with a couple of people, but I remember seeing Roy's profile, and it looked like he looked like he was somebody who had fun, who liked to dance.
If I can jump in here real quick, this is actually pretty funny. The picture that she is referring to is me dancing at my sister's wedding. But what is going on is the picture is of me, and we cropped out my girlfriend at the time. So the picture is me dancing and having a good time, and my date was just like cut entirely out of the picture, literally and figuratively. So that's the picture I had on my Bumble profile. Katie, please continue.
And so that was something I was looking for, with somebody to have fun with and to who could kind of let loose and not worry about other people and just having a good time. So I messaged him first. I saw he was he worked at one of the universities, and I just asked, what do you teach? And it was kind of, it started as like a real conversation. And he seemed like somebody who was actually really serious about being on the dating sites and trying to meet up. And
can I jump in here? Mm-hmm. So, before I started talking to Katie, through the series of shenanigans and situationships and quote relationships and etc., I learned a lot of things about myself and what I wanted. And I wanted to get married. It was one of the things I really wanted in a relationship. And I wanted to, spend my life with someone and do all the married couple things that, Katie and I are doing now. But I really wanted those things. And one of those, like, when we had our first date, Katie and I had a very unconventional first date. And I know I'm getting my
story. 1950. It could be like totally 1950 is conventional.
Oh, okay. So it's very old school. It was a very forward date, in that Katie and I discussed a lot. We discussed So the first part was 1950s, where we went and got ice cream. Katie failed to mention that she's lactose intolerant. I'm sitting there, I'm like, we could have gone and gotten anything else. We didn't have to get ice cream. Honestly, like, when she pulled out the dairy ease, to me, that was a huge green flag. And like, I can't really tell you what the green flag is for. I mean, we could say, yeah, she's always prepared, and she does always have a pill pack on her in some form or another. But to me, it was such a huge green flag, and I was like, score. But, we had ice cream, and then we had drinks, and then we went to a different place because where we were was very populated. And we were like, let's go find some place that isn't as crowded. And we went to a new place, and we were talking, and I forget who asked who, like, the first, like, first question that was, like, a deep question. But once the floodgates were opened, like, we just went for broke, you know, like, do you want to get married? Do you want to have kids? Do you want this? Do you want this? Bah, 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 bah. And like, we just went right down the line with everything that we wanted out of a relationship. And, you know, we were 35. Yeah. 35 at the time. And, you know, we both had this mentality of, look, we're mid 30s. We know exactly what we want. Why do we have to beat around the bush and do this dance for 3 years of like figuring each other out? Like, let's get this shit going, you know? And while I will admit and say that our relationship has moved very quickly, I don't think that we have moved ahead recklessly. Everything that we've done, again, well, quickly, has been thought out beforehand. And again, that word, communication, communicated and discussed at length. So that first date, you know, we found out a lot about each other's wants and needs. And we had a really good foundation for, like, no surprises later on. Like,
I think we both had done enough of the, well, this is what I don't want. So if you don't want that, then why waste the effort, but
right.
why spend the time if we're not compatible?
Right. There were many things that we talked about that were like, these are my hard no's, my hard yeses, and I can discuss these. And once we got, like, you know, each 10 of those out of the way, we're like, all right, cool. Well, you know, good business transaction. Let's move on to the dating part. You know, so, but I mean, like, case in point, like, I have friends that right now have been dating for multiple years and they are discussing, like, marriage, and they're coming, like, they're talking about, like, oh, do you want to get married? Like, how have you not talked about that? Like, this is the first in 3 years you're just now talking about that? We're not 20 anymore. Like, if you want to get married and have kids, and you're talking about that with your partner for the first time 2, 3, 4, 5 years into the relationship, that's an issue, and that issue needs to be corrected.
You mentioned green flags and red flags. Mm. I actually did have a question about that. What were both of your early green flags for each other while dating?
For me, a big one was liking the same music I liked.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Because going to concerts was a big thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Same. Yeah, just music means a lot to us. Mm-hmm. So to have that, like, that concert partner was mm-hmm. was somebody that was a non-negotiable.
So we met in, you know, technically we met in December. We started dating in January. I think it was March. Katie told me she bought a ticket to a concert festival that I was going to in May. But you didn't tell... Wait, no. You bought the ticket, but you didn't tell me what until a month later?
Something like that.
Yeah. So, like, my friends and I were solidly going to this festival. It's called Rockville. It's in Daytona. And it's a 4-day festival. And so Katie was like, oh, yeah, I bought a ticket. And... my immediate reaction, Katie has never heard this before, my immediate reaction was red flag. Like, wow, that's really sudden. That's really like, oh my God, she's stalking me. And like, I think I asked her later on, I was like, what if I had said no? Like, or we broke up, like, what would you have done? And she said, would have found someone else. And I said, okay, that makes sense. Okay. Like, to me, it rationalizes it, you know? It was a big gamble, right? I'm going to buy a ticket, and if we're still together, we're going to go together. And if we're not still together, at least I bought the ticket, and then I get to go with someone else. And I was
the thing was Rockville was something that I always had wanted to do. And ever since I moved to Florida and found out about it, I had wanted to go, but I never had the opportunity to go. And as soon as I found out, like, I was like, you know what? It's like, I have the time. I can request off. I was like, I hope he's cool with me doing this. But I was like, I'm going one way or another. And hopefully, if we are together, then we can go together. If we're not, then hopefully we can still be friends. And then I know somebody has my back when I go.
Yeah. Honestly, the biggest ask out of that entire situation was, you know, me and my buddy were splitting a room. So to be like, hey, man, like, would you be cool if she came and we split her, you know, a bed in the whole nine yards? And like, you know, my friend, he's an awesome guy. So obviously, honestly, he was like, yeah, that's cool. And then also then we split the room three ways instead of two ways. And I was like, all right, that makes sense. Everyone's cheaper for everyone. But like, you know, ended up being awesome. It ended up being really a defining moment of our relationship.
Speaking of defining moments and relationships, mm-hmm. Do you have any sort of stages that you can think of in your relationship from something that went from like a puppy love to longer term attraction?
Uh-huh.
And were there also any moments of like worry during that transition? If it mm-hmm. did feel like the feeling or vibe shifted a little bit over time.
Katie, do you want to start?
No.
Sure. I'll say, you know, for me, you know, out of the two of us, like, Katie's lived with someone before, she's been married to someone before, et cetera, right? So for me, out of the two of us, I experienced, I think, at least in my opinion, more new shit than she did, right? Like, I distinctly remember there were a few times after we moved in together, like a month or two after we moved in together, that I was like, Katie, what do we do now? She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, we live together, but I don't know what to do with ourselves. And then like almost the exact same feeling came after we got married. We got married like a month later. I'm like, you know, well, January. So 2 months later, I was like, Katie, what do we do? We got married, but like, I feel the same. She's like, yeah, now we just live and we live together and we keep on living. And I'm like, oh, okay. And that's a common thing that I have found out when I talk to other married couples. It's just like, yeah, it's the build up to the wedding. You have this big ass party. And then, you know, after that, you're coming down from the party and you just live together. I will say that literally a month into our relationship, Katie and I did something spontaneous and silly. And we spent 48 hours in New York City. Literally, we flew up Saturday morning, ran around the city, got a hotel room. Well, we had a hotel room. Got in our hotel room. I forget what we did. We went out to dinner Saturday night, which was delicious. You know, walked around the city. Sunday, we had breakfast at, what was it, Mom's Diner, Katie?
Yeah.
Shout out to Mom's Diner in Midtown.
Okay.
Please sponsor us.
Midtown Manhattan.
Yeah, Midtown Manhattan, yeah. Right. And, you know, ran around on Sunday. And then we flew home and it was really, really crazy and like something you would do in your mid-20s and really not your mid-30s, you know, but because of course, one of the pilots wasn't there and we had to sit on the tarmac for 3 hours and I believe it was the Super Bowl. So we watched the Super Bowl on the stupid little TV screens in the back of the seat. And we didn't get home until after midnight. So of course the airport charged me for 3 days of parking as opposed to two. And it was one of those like little things, but like we knocked off like traveling together, traveling on a plane together, taking the subway together, you know, just a bunch of like little check marks that were all like check, 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 check. And then like, well, we survived that together. If we can run around the city and fly, you know, that short together in 48 hours, like we can handle a fair amount of stuff. And, you know, last month we moved, you know, I drove 12 hours in, you know, one day and we survived that. So like, that's another check mark. And, you know, I think as far as like relationships, that's the name of the episode, relationships. So as far as like relationship shifts, I don't like that.
Okay.
To me, a shift implies like bad things, right? I almost want to call it like a relationship evolving.
Like a ripening of things.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot better.
I don't think because it feels like there should be a definite like marker of, oh, we've passed this point. And I don't think we've really had those defining, like, oh, we've hit this stage.
Right.
It's more been a progression.
Yeah. I mean, like, sure, there's the, you know, dating and then engaged and then married phases. You know, that's there. But I mean, you could really kind of think of that as like, marriage is where you're actually starting the journey and everything is kind of like, you know, preparation up until that journey. But even that metaphor is kind of shitty for those people that never decide to get married, and that's entirely up to them and good for them. Like, you know, marriage isn't for everyone, and that's okay. And that's great. You know, and that's fine. But I like the ripening. I like that a lot.
So for both of you, there's obviously music has been an important thing for each of you. Do you have a song or band specifically that is meaningful to both of you for either how you met or came together? You mentioned the concert that you went to. Who was playing at that, if you don't mind?
Oh, Katie, hush. so sorry, it's an inside joke because I can never remember the three bands that played the first concert we went to. Because to me, that wasn't as like impactful on my memory as like the other band that really become our band. In fact,
I can tell you all of them.
I will say Katie is like a band and music encyclopedia. But I will say the inside joke that I don't remember is more impactful to me than the bands that I don't remember that night.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the so the first concert we went to was Fame on Fire, Wage War, and Nonpoint.
All right, yeah.
And the most impactful band on our relationship would have to be the band Nothing More.
Without a doubt.
Band Nothing More?
No, the band Nothing More.
Nothing More.
Band Nothing More. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they've been a band I've loved since I first heard their music 10 years ago. But in my previous relationship, if I wanted to see a concert, there had to be at least an opener my ex wanted to see. Otherwise, I couldn't go. And so I never got to see them. And when Ray and I got together, the first Valentine's Day present he gave me was tickets to see Nothing More.
Okay.
And I knew he hadn't really listened to them.
I knew one song.
Yeah. And I knew there was going to be this one song that would be really meaningful to him, but I didn't have him listen to it before because I didn't know if they would play it. And if they did, I wanted him to hear the best version he could, which would hopefully be live. And the song is Fade In, Fade Out. And it's about a son watching his father pass on his legacy to his son. And I think just being there in that moment and listening to the songs that Nothing More is a band where every song has meaning. Every song conveys an experience in life, whether it be a tragedy, a moment where you just want to scream and yell at people, and they do it so beautifully, and so we've both kind of connected through them, through their shared emotions, their shared life experiences, their love for doing fundraising for mental health, for substance abuse, for different things like that. They've really been a powerful band for us. And so they were our first big concert together. And we had our first dance to one of their songs.
Can you remember the song specifically?
If I were.
Okay.
And the song talks about, if he were God for a day, he wouldn't change anything, even though he had the opportunity, because the person he's singing the song about is perfect. And he would take all the consequences to keep them just the same. And even though we've had our struggles and all of our moments that we may want to change for each other or change for ourselves, who we are is because of that. And we would keep the things the same.
It's a lovely sentiment.
Yep, Kate does a good job with that kind of stuff.
Shifting a bit, did you have vows for your wedding?
Yes.
Yeah, we wrote our own.
And how did you come up with those vows? And could you, I'm not expecting you to recite them exactly, but could you paraphrase some of what you had in your vows?
So I was very proud of myself, and I even had a joke that was like, I wanted to have at least one funny inside joke in my vows. And I said, with you, I know that whatever we can do, if we do it together, there's nothing we can't accomplish, like getting a dragonfly out of the apartment. Had a dragonfly get in the apartment. And it turned into this
probably fiasco.
30, 45 minute epic ordeal that involved chemical warfare.
To be fair, so first of all, the way that our apartment is structured, it was structured is we had a door on the bottom with stairs going up to the top. Okay. We lived on the second floor, but the entrance was on the bottom floor. So the dragonfly was buzzing around on that landing for like a solid 30 minutes. And then he made it upstairs. And I was like, once he got upstairs, that's it. There's no way that we're not going to be able to like push him down the stairs. Like, so, you know, I tried my damnedest to keep him alive. I just kind of swish him outside the door, but that didn't happen. And we had a kitty cat who was very interested in helping, but his version of helping involved teeth and claws. So it was just, it was an ordeal. But
Roy, then how about your own vows?
I have my vows right here in front of me. So, Katie, do you want me to read them all?
It's up to you, babe.
Okay. So I am a jokester, and a cornerstone of our relationship has been making Katie laugh. And so I said, I promise to continue to be a silly goose and always make you smile even when you're upset with me. I won't go into specifics, but Katie works in the medical field. So as you know, getting anyone in the medical field to see a doctor is a challenge. So I promise to make you go to the doctor when you're sick, even when it's, quote, no big deal. And I promise I'll always work out any issues. I'm keeping some for ourselves, for the record, for listeners out there. Those are the funny ones, at least. But
yeah,
I opened with "I'll never lie to you," and that I'll promise that you'll never be lonely again.
And how have both of you tried to keep those vows in mind and keep those to accomplish the things from your wedding day that you have set out to accomplish one year from that time?
Well, moving up here so Katie could start a new job. I'm not saying this to be like, oh, look at me. And I'm not saying this to be like, oh, I'm so humble, whatever. But like, I took a step back. We moved up here for Katie. Katie had the surefire set up job. I don't. We did that and we made that decision as a couple. That's not something that, it's just like, oh, well, we're just gonna move up here because you want it. We're going to do it for you. Like, that's not it. Like, that's not it at all. We had that, multiple discussions about that. And, this vow is not on here, but, I probably should have said that I promise to always build you up and help you accomplish your dreams. So that was, that's one of the ways that I've done that. And I have made her go to the doctor when she's sick. So I think kind of accomplished that. And not only did I accomplish that, but when she was actually legitimately sick, she's like, I don't want to go to the doctor. And I was like, I vowed that I would make you go to the doctor. And she said, fine.
Thankfully for my vows, we have not had another dragonfly incident. but in that vein, I mean, we've, for that no task being unachievable, I think just pulling through the move and through everything life's thrown at us so far, we've tried to maintain that, this too shall pass. Like,
yeah.
The dragonfly incident is over. So whatever yes. incident comes our way yeah. will be over at some
and
point or another.
I want to jump in here. And I've talked about media in my life before. Like, How I Met Your Mother is not, they didn't write the characters that great, in the long run. But
Ted
one
is
of the
a
things.
Jerk.
Ted sucks. He's the worst.
Sorry, who?
Ted, the main character.
Yes,
him.
How Much
I
Mother.
Hate him.
Yeah.
he is the worst.
Yes, God. With him and Ross could have a who's the worst main character showdown. But anyway, in the later part of the series, I think it's in season 9, Marshall and Lily's characters, they're talking about wedding vows because of Barney and Robin. But Marshall and Lily say something like about we're going to update our vows. And that specific notion of like every 5 years, kind of like updating your vows, almost like a vow renewal, vow update. Like, I think because life changes, you change in life.
Sure.
You know,
of course,
where we are now when we're 43. Oh God. We're 43. I know. When we're 43, we're going to be in a different situation in life, hopefully in a better situation, but a different situation. And, maybe our vows don't change per se, but they evolve. They shift.
Yeah. I think we've had a lot of kind of high and lofty discussion. Mm-hmm. So I the last part of the interview questions that I had mm-hmm. is much more quicker answer, faster pace, and funnier. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
I'll start. If we had dowries again in our society, mm-hmm. but it was like sort of gender neutral, what would each of your families give as a dowry to your partner's family?
Oh my God! What's a dowry? I never actually.
Oh, a dowry! It's usually like if you go back far enough in time, you would like, hey, now that I no longer have to pay to take care of my daughter, here is a fine dairy cow and this donkey and a few gold coins, that sort of thing. But usually, it was something that was also. Reminiscent of your family and what they came from. So like, a fisherman might give his biggest catch or something like that.
So is it a gift or is it a debt?
It's a gift that that assumes like, hey, presumably like it had a lot to do with patriarchy. So
gotcha.
I'm updating it for today of just a gift, not an obligation.
The dowry for the modern couple.
Yes.
I would say, given the professions of my parents, nutrition advice and some solid accounting tips.
Okay. I would say, honestly, the dowry would probably be
Chinese food.
I wish. My mother used to work for a Chinese food restaurant. They were our backstory neighbors. Yeah, sorry. There's a lot of backstory there that just got dumped in 30 seconds. Leroy's lore. So my mother has a bunch of old recipes from her mother and her mother's mother and my dad's mother's mother. Like stuff that the pen is the ink is kind of faded. It's all yellow around the border, like old pieces of paper that have old recipes on them. That would probably be the dowry, honestly.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah.
All right. What is the most angry you've been with your partner that you're willing to share?
Oof. Okay. Mm. You first, Katie.
Most angry. Gosh, that's a hard one. I don't know.
I know.
All right.
I know. I'll shorten it. There was a issue with a tattoo. It wasn't so much.
Yeah, you were mad.
And I was mad for weeks. That was a whole thing. It was a whole thing.
You were so mad.
And it wasn't so much the issue. Like, I just say the issue of the tattoo because I don't want to name drop tattoo artists or shops or anything like that, right? But the artist in question manipulated Katie into getting a bigger and more expensive tattoo by essentially,
It was a bait and switch.
It was a bait and switch, but the switch was like, do you want a little piece of candy or a giant chocolate pie? And Katie was like, well, obviously I want the chocolate pie. And he was like, yes, here's half of the chocolate pie, and I'll tell you how much it costs after you eat it all. After she told me, I was just like, that doesn't make any sense at all. And it ended up being like a multi-week fight. To the point where Katie and I have been in couples counseling for the majority of our relationship. And I highly recommend that everyone who's in a relationship go see a couples counselor if you are having the remote slightest issues. Absolutely no shame. If you put the work in, it will help. But yeah, you know, and it took a little bit of like real deep discussion to be like, Katie, this hurt when XYZ. And Katie would say, Roy, this hurt when XYZ. And then to find the middle ground and, you know, be like, I'm sorry that I got angry. If this happens again in the future, please let me know. And then you and I will work it out together. You know, that kind of thing. The majority of our solutions are asking the other person, like, can we do this together? Like, I don't want you to do this by yourself. Please let me help you. Or at the very least, please let me be next to you while you do it.
I'm trying to keep these a little shorter, but that was a longer answer than I anticipated. There's a phrase, le pain quotidien, which is like the daily bread, but it also implies like the daily grind of life. So with that in mind, what is your favorite activity to do with your partner that's just, you know, you'd have to do it with him or without him to go on with the daily grind?
I had my initial answer, but what was funny and sarcastic. I think that, like, this is going to sound really cheesy, right? But, like, getting ready for bed together to me is, like, I don't want to say fun, but almost sacred, right? It's that routine that you go through every day. Like, you brush your teeth, I brush my teeth. All right, you know, wash our face, get ready for bed, lay in bed, and just you get in bed together, and you just go, you know.
Sure.
And the gunk of the day is just kind of melts away together.
I think something similar for me is knowing that when I come home, he's there and I can share my day with him and ask what his day was. And then we can enjoy spending time with the cats together and cooking a meal.
That was my initial sarcastic answer. Was the thing that I love doing with you is cooking.
Yeah, I'm the sous chef. I'm definitely not the head chef.
Okay.
Actually, that's an interesting thing. If I could have another tangent, if that's okay.
Go for it.
So when we first moved in together, I can cook. I do well in the kitchen. Katie needs some practice.
I make a valiant effort.
You make a valiant effort. But when we first like started living together, we were first in the kitchen and I'm moving around and stuff. Katie would always be right where I needed to be. She would always be, for lack of a better term, in the way. And I'm like, darling, you're always in the way. And she was like, well, I just want to help. And I said, I love that. And I love you. Please stand over there and look pretty. I will let you know when I need your help. And that was one of those first little things of communicating, openly communicating my, you know, needs in that moment, which are, I appreciate that you want to help me. I don't know how you can help me right now. Please, you know, move out of the way and I will let you know when I need help. And that became the standard where Katie, like, is not expected to help me in any way unless I'm like, hey, can you peel the potatoes while I'm getting this ready? And she'll, okay, sure, fine.
Yeah.
And that's what she does.
All right, the reverse. What is the least favorite of the chores, grind, living together, that least favorite to do together?
I know Katie's answer.
What's that?
Katie hates food shopping with me.
Is it the grocery store?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
He has to go down every aisle to analyze if he needs anything down that aisle. where I'm very methodical and I'm very like, this is what I need. I need to go to this aisle. I don't need that aisle. And he's just cruising down the aisle. And I'm like, all right, it's been 30 minutes. Let's move.
Okay.
Well, wait, this is actually pretty interesting. I don't want to take over, John, but I answered for Katie. Katie, do you want to answer for me?
Oh, yes. All the things that I love you most.
Actually, I have a pretty good one.
Go for it.
I don't like it when Katie drives me anywhere. Ever.
Yeah. I didn't even think of that one, but yeah.
So another running joke, right? So in Katie's defense, she does not like to drive. Given the opportunity between me driving or her driving, she's going to opt for me driving, you know, 9 times out of 10. With the 10th time being like, am I physically incapable of driving? Then she'll drive. So okay. I drive wherever. I drive my car and her car. Katie has never driven my car. And not because I'm not like, you can't drive my car. Like, she has a key fob to my car. She is very capable of driving my car, but she has just never driven my car. And at this point, it's almost like a running joke. Like, how long can we go before Katie actually does drive the car?
And now I have no desire to drive his car because my car has a heated steering wheel and his mm-hmm. doesn't. So I have no... Because yeah. when we lived in Florida, I would say, I was like, there's going to be one day where you wake up and I'm going to have taken your car to work. And yeah. you never know. But now I'm like, I've got heated seats, hearing steering wheels. So bye. My car.
Yeah, I missed I want a heated steering wheel.
All right. Let's do a couple of these real fast mm-hmm. then. What is, we're going to do a list of overrated things. Each of you say mm-hmm. them on three. So I'll name a general broad subject and mm-hmm. something you find overrated. One, so first is films, individual movies that you find overrated. One. 2, 3, go.
Oh, fuck. Oh, Avatar? My mind is blanking.
What? Excellent. Okay. Avatar from Katie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Oh, sure.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll go again with this time an overrated band.
Taylor Swift.
A band. Oh, okay. I guess a broader artist. And that is actually a great way to maybe segue into a future podcast episode, which, Katie, sure. will you be joining for that one?
She will.
Oh,
yes.
We're going to have
yes.
a great time.
I'll plug the episode at the end of this one.
Okay. Now, from overrated to underrated, what's an underrated movie on 3, 1, 2, 3, 7. Okay.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Agreed. Okay. Agreed.
I feel like those get their within their genres. They're pretty well regarded. Mm-hmm. What about an underrated musical genre or like specific vibe of music on 3, 1, 2, 3?
Jazz.
Oh, rock.
Okay. Roy, why jazz?
Why is it underrated?
Yes.
I think it, you know, it definitely has its place in history, right? As like the prevailing music of its time. But that doesn't mean that it's not still good and it still deserves a place in the zeitgeist. So listen to jazz.
Okay. On 3, I'm going to have you call out your partner's least favorite. So starting with pizza topping. 1, 2, 3.
Olives.
Anchovies?
Good one.
Okay. least favorite soda. 1, 2, 3.
Regular Mountain Dew.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you like Sprite. Sierra Mist. I was thinking Sierra Mist.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Least favorite food. 1, 2, 3.
Mushrooms. I will give you, this is hard, Katie.
You eat everything.
I know. I think, honestly, at this point, it's just cottage cheese.
Oh, okay. Cottage cheese. Mushrooms are not my... I don't like mushrooms. They're weird.
My girlfriend has the same... That would be her answer.
They're weird.
All right. And now a couple of favorites. Your partner's favorite TV show. 1, 2, 3.
Nailed it.
Community?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you're a Community lover.
Oh, yes. Big time.
Both of us are.
Yeah.
We should watch Chaos Theory together sometime.
Absolutely. That's we could do a podcast breakdown.
Oh, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Okay. Your favorite leisure activity for an afternoon without work. 1, 2, 3.
Sitting with the cats.
Gaming?
Yeah.
All right. Your partner's dream vacation on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Iceland.
It feels unfair.
Their
favorite sports team on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Purdue.
Giants?
Yeah, I'll go with the Giants.
Okay. And your partner's favorite musical artist and or band. 1, 2, 3.
Nothing more.
System of a Down.
Yes.
Okay. Well, guys, I hope it has been as fun for the audience listening to get to know both of you a little better as it has been for me. I am out of things to ask at this point. So
I have one question for you.
Oh, the interviewer being asked a question. Exactly. Yes.
What have you learned, if anything? What have you learned, and what would you and or what will you apply to your own relationships?
I've learned that dating in your 30s means you should skip past a lot of the tutorial mode for relationships that we all went through in our 20s of not asking questions and not being sure of what we want and just get straight to the real shit.
Exactly.
Because that seems like something you two have done beautifully and something I wish I had been more skilled at in my own past relationships.
Yeah. I think it was kind of we learned based out of necessity.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Katie, any closing thoughts?
I definitely think that, and I can't say it enough, that couples therapy is not a weakness. It's not a sign that your relationship is failing. It can only improve what's already good. So I think people view it like regular therapy where there's something wrong, so you have to fix it. When really it just gives you the tools or helps you gain the perspective to have a better relationship. So you really don't lose anything, you only gain. And it's not something that should be looked upon as, oh, well, we're going because, you know, it's something's wrong. It can be you go because, you know, it's healthy. It's helpful.
Yeah.
It's a positive experience. It doesn't have to have that negative connotation that I think a lot of people have.
I have two things. One, Katie and I were talking about the other night. We just got matching tattoos like 2 months ago. And it's been really fun to like show them off to people, like, oh my God, we have matching tattoos, blah, you know. And Katie and I were talking about a person who shall remain unnamed, that like, you know, oh, so-and-so would never get a matching tattoo with their partner. Why is that? And I said something like, oh, they're a what if person. I'm like, what's that? And then a what if person to me is someone who's only like 90% committed to the relationship. And that 10%, they are thinking, well, what if, you know, I'm not going to get a tattoo with this person, not because I hate tattoos or for any other reason than that, only because what if we don't make it? What if we break up? What if we get divorced? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if? And, you know, if you spend your whole life, you spend your whole relationship in what ifs, you're not going to have a real relationship. And if you are really thinking about what if, brings me to number two, which I think is the biggest thing, and it has been Katie and I's biggest thing in, as a couple in our relationship, which is constant and open communication. If you are a what if person, you need to convey that to your partner if you want to remain in that relationship of like, hey, I'm only 90% into this, just so you know, because what if X, Y, Z? And then either, you know, if they think you're 100% in and you're only 90, that's something that needs to be discussed, because you're essentially lying to that person. And then also on the other end of the spectrum, like, what if you don't break up? And what if you get spend the rest of your life together? And what if you make it till you're both 103 and you look back and like, damn, that tattoo would have been really cool. And now it's too late, you know? So don't be a what if person in constant communication.
I don't know. I kind of think it would be rad to get a tattoo with your partner at 103.
Fair. I mean, oh yeah. So what, you know, so you're 75 together and you don't have a tattoo still, but yeah, at 103, I'm getting all the tattoos. It doesn't matter what it is. Just put it on my body. Yeah. So I think that this episode was really cool. For the record, Katie and I were not in the same room. And there were multiple times that I was almost crying in, you know, complete tears. But we might do this again sometime in the future. Thank you all for tuning in. My name is Roy. My wife, Katie, would you like to sign off?
Bye.
And John?
Have a wonderful week.
Fantastic. We'll see you all in the next episode.